It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azhatalin? Then perhaps they will. But then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
Sorry.
Psych! We said it was back to normal schedule. It's not back to normal schedule because we record on Mondays now, and I will be with my in-laws because it's Memorial Day on Monday. So it's not that. We're here instead. It's Friday. So it's a little bit early. So it's the day after we posted the last one. So we got no emails. So this will be fun.
Well, I was going to say, and you're leaving like right after this. So this.
Yes. And I totally forgot this happened and took a nap because I was very, very tired because we had tornado warnings around here.
So we did.
So we all got woke up or I got woke up early.
Yeah, I did too.
Might have been awake already. It is sort of comforting to know because both of our phones screamed at us. Mm-hmm. Like we woke up.
Yeah.
But it was not fun. But the tornadoes came pretty close, and they came even closer to y'all.
Yeah, we have damage here. We have a tree next door is down. The soffit in front of our front door has got some damage. We're getting fixed right now.
We do not that I saw when I went out, but it was raining heavily, so who knows?
Some damage at the mall. Yeah.
It's always damage at the mall. Also, my back is still pretty messed up, so if I'm listing to the side or whatever, sorry. So I tell you how it happened, yeah?
You're back.
Yeah.
Oh, you were doing chores is what you said, so I thought
Not how I hurt my back.
Oh.
No. I hurt my back like a week ago now.
Oh, no, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Leaning over the sink to spit the toothpaste out when I'm brushing my teeth.
Really?
Yes. Because I'm that old now and also mega fat. So that doesn't help. But so I've been trying to deal with that. I'm also behind my massage therapist. She hurt her back. And so we had a longer stretch. But next week I'll see her and we'll see. I want to talk real quick about Dave's Killer Bread.
Okay.
We've talked about Dave's Killer Bread and it's awesome.
Got some in the fridge.
And you've got some. I found out apparently my mom does it too. It's good. It's good shit.
Yeah. That's good.
I bought some more and I was using up the last of the previous stuff we had waiting for the toast to do. And I had done some things in the kitchen. I was just standing there. So I decided to look at the package and I'm always confused because the package has a dude, presumably Dave, and he's very like rock star looking and he's got a guitar and shit.
Like a mullet and everything. Yeah.
Yeah. It's very, and I was like, so who's Dave? And so I look at the side of the container or of the package. Have you read the package?
No, I have not.
Okay. Buckle up. All Dave's right. whole deal. He's an ex-con.
Really?
He went to prison for 15 years. Huh. And that's when he finally figured out like he needed to get his shit together. And so he left. He was released from prison after 15 years. He didn't
get up and leave.
And his brother kindly gave him a second chance and was like, you want to come work at our family bakery? And he did. And he's like, and I want to make a super awesome bread. And so he made a super awesome bread. And now it's a thing. And they're very big on, you know, people need second chances and stuff. And they're very, and I think that's all super cool. And I want to make it clear, I think this is all awesome. I support the company. I love the bread. I want to say that before I say the next thing I'm going to say.
Oh, okay.
this is no judgment on them, save perhaps with some stylistic and marketing choices.
Oh, okay.
Dave was in prison for 15 years. That's a long time. It's not like an unheard of, but that's a long That's not a burglary amount of time, especially if you're a white dude, and he seems to look like a white dude. That's not a possession amount of time.
Like an assault or
well,
maybe it may be armed robbery. Could be.
It's called Dave's Killer Bread.
Oh, so you know what he was charged with?
I don't think I don't I. I'm hope I don't think so. Here's the thing. I mean,
you just think that's a poor choice.
15 years is an amount of time one could serve for some sort of murder or manslaughter.
Manslaughter, yeah, maybe.
With good behavior, certain circumstances, whatever.
Right.
It could be. I do not think that is the case because it would be insane to call your bread that if you had killed someone. But I just want to point out, it's only slightly less insane to have gone to prison for 15 years and call your bread that without specifying in your little story what
the person did. Like, yeah.
At some point, somebody must have been like, isn't this a weird... And I know the slang for killer. I get it. But I'm like, you could have called it Dave's Awesome Bread or something. Yeah, right.
Sure.
It's just a weird choice.
Yeah.
And either regardless of the story, which is none of my business, I support him regardless. But I'm like, the two possible options here are both pretty crazy.
Yeah, yeah. I hear what you're saying. Yeah, I didn't. I guess I never didn't know the story was even on the bread.
Yeah, it's written on the side. It's a pretty nice way to say it and everything. And still don't know what the electric guitar is about. I get the feeling Dave's like a metalhead kind of looking dude.
Yeah.
But yeah. So that's weird. Hello, everyone. Welcome to my Talking Cat podcast. The only podcast I slept through. Seriously, I've never slept through another podcast.
No, I don't think you have.
I mean other people's podcasts.
Oh.
Like listening to
them. You haven't slept through one of ours. Have you?
No. Actually, I kind of slept through one recently on the plane, I suppose. In that, like, there are swaths of it I sort of don't remember. I think I was dozing. But I'm Tony.
And I'm William, and this is episode 689.
Actually, this is a good thing that I should bring up. I have a podcast recommendation.
You do?
Like, and not one where like I don't like it, but I think y'all will. Like, this is one I actually enjoy.
Okay.
Actually, I'm not sure it's for you, but it might be for some other listeners, especially ones who are a little younger than me.
Fair enough.
People who just had cable.
Fair enough.
It's called Mom Can't Cook, a DCOM podcast.
DCOM,
DCOM. So as I think I've mentioned before, there are some British video game journalists that I watch on YouTube that I really like.
Okay.
Outside Xbox, Outside Extra. Well, two of the gentlemen from that decided to make this podcast. And their names are Luke Westaway and Andy Ferrant. And they made it because during COVID, during lockdown, they were watching, I think, a Marvel movie on Disney Plus. Like, they were in separate places, but over the phone they were doing it. And the next thing that came up was a movie called Brink. And they didn't know what that was. And this is when they discovered the Disney Channel original movies.
Oh.
Which were a phenomenon that existed from the late 90s through a lot of the aughts.
Oh, yeah. The Disney Channel. Okay, sure.
Channel. That's what DCOM stands for. Disney Channel Original Movie.
I never watched already... them, but I knew about them.
Me neither, because I didn't have the Disney Channel.
Yeah, right. Me neither. Not that I would have watched
Well,
them
and anyway. Some of them would show up other places. Like, I think I saw Halloween Town on some other channel. Like, they eventually would sort of get around.
Oh, okay.
But there were just a ton of them, and they were ridiculous. Like, they were the most nonsensical, low-budget, poorly produced crazy ass things ever, and they love them. And then the whole thing is each episode they talk about one of them.
Oh.
And I really enjoy it. Obviously, I like the way these guys do anyway, because I've been watching their YouTubes. The two of them specifically have a very good interaction. They are both very well spoken and very funny and crack each other up and do good sort of plays on each other. And it just cracks me up. It's a real fun time. And it's really funny to hear about all these old things. And even though I didn't watch a lot of them, I know a lot of like the actors that were involved in things, because there's a lot of the actors that you know from other stuff. But in the 90s, they did this for paychecks and things. The Lawrence brothers did a bunch of them. One of them is actually Kirk Cameron before he stopped acting. He was the protagonist in one of them. There's one where one of the side characters, but significant, is the guy, the Asian guy who's not James Hong, who's been in everything. He probably is most famous for being Shang Tsung the Sorcerer in Mortal Kombat. And in this movie called Johnny Tsunami, he's like a surfer dude. And then just weird stuff, because some of them are like sci-fi, and it's like what the 90s thought the internet was going to be. It's crazy shit. And things that just don't make sense. They just did, the ones I'm listening to, they just did Halloween Town. And it had such ridiculous, it's about a town where there's all the monsters you think of as Halloween all live just all the time.
Oh, yeah.
And they spent incredibly varying levels of detail and effort in creating the monsters. So much that these guys are doing merch for a shirt just called Monsters of Varying Levels of Detail. Because sometimes it's like full prosthetics and stuff like that. And other times it's just like a dude in khakis and like a rubber mask, or a Civil War soldier, and that's a monster for some reason. Like, it's just all over the place. And they're just hilarious. And originally they were like, watch it beforehand, and then we'll talk about it. It'll be like a book club. And I was like, I'm not doing that. They've had this for years. I just found it now. And sure enough, a lot of listeners were like, no, these sound terrible. We just love hearing you talk about them. And I do love hearing them talk about them. So it's a fun time. So yeah, it's called Mom Can't Cook, because there are a lot of running themes in the various Disney Channel original movies. And one of them is that the mother often sucks at cooking. And like, that's a plot point for some reason.
Huh.
Yeah, it's very weird.
Okay, so this is why when people talk about how AI is going to ruin everything, like, I think, look how formulaic movie making and TV making has been so far. Why? Yeah. How could AI do it worse?
I do think AI is going to change / is changing things. It's not going to take over. It's not remotely good enough for that, people. Like, we are not at that point.
It also won't make the actual stories worse. Worse as in maybe people losing jobs, et cetera, et cetera. But like the entertainment going down in quality. Think about that for a second.
I've seen a lot of movies recently that could have been made by AI, and I would believe it.
Exactly. In retrospect, I think people would go, you know what? Has AI been around for 30 years?
Secret AI all this time. There's a lot of that. There's a lot of where they're like, why did they do it this way? Like in the podcast, there's a lot of like, you absolutely didn't have to have this in it at all. Why is this here? But then you get weird things like I just listened to the episode for Under Wraps, which was the first ever Disney original movie. And it's about a mummy, and the mummy is played by, I forget the guy's name, but he's the guy who was Dobber in Coach and does the voice of Patrick Starr in SpongeBob SquarePants. He's this enormous blonde guy. He's basically the other Richard Mall.
Oh, he played Dobber in Coach, you said.
Yes, yeah. He's this really huge blonde guy. And right. He plays the mummy. He also plays the main character's new divorced mom's dad. And it is a plot point that he doesn't, or not, sorry, divorced mom's boyfriend. And he's like trying to get in good with the son, and the son rejects him because he is sad that his parents got divorced years ago or whatever. And after we finished at the end of the episode, Andy was like, I think you can absolutely read this as none of this supernatural stuff happened at all, and this was a plot by the mom and the boyfriend that got other people involved to show him the importance of like family. And because the whole thing is the mummy misses his significant other, who's a different mummy. And at the end, sure enough, like the main character understands love and was like, you know, he's cool or whatever. And it totally works. And it especially works because it's the same actor.
Yeah.
And so like you can pull, and that's the thing. They have a lot of fun with these, and some of them they think are like really good comparatively. They actually have a thing at the end of most of them where they're like, was this a good DCOM? They don't say, was this a good movie? But like, given who the target audience was and what Disney Channel was trying to do with these, like, is it good? And sometimes the answer is no. But sometimes the answer is yes.
I mean, I think that's a fair standard, honestly. Like, you know, like, I think it does matter what the medium is, who the audience is, right? I think all that matters. Yeah. And if I think it is fair to judge it in that context rather than against some standard that doesn't really apply to everything.
Well, and I enjoy a ton of things that aren't very good.
Right.
And the older I get, I really don't enjoy things that are quite good.
Yep.
Agreed. Really well-made, good quality movies that I think did what they wanted to do, and I just did not like it.
Yep. Agreed. I concur with that, for sure.
Speaking of, for those of you just joining us for the first time, this is us talking till my back gives out, so don't even worry about it. Because, again, nobody emailed. So how has your 3 days been?
So there have been a lot of storms around here in the last few days.
A bit, yeah.
And Greenfield got hit really bad by an E4.
Greenfield, parts of Greenfield got flattened.
And I don't
think Greenfield's been hit before. I think Greenfield is not in a good spot weather-wise.
Greenfield is where my mom was from. And so I have family there. And they're okay, thank God. But there was several hours there where we didn't know. And we just saw some of these people at Dad's funeral, right? And now this Greenfield gets hit and we're like, we're not hearing from any of them.
Oh, geez.
But we did finally, and everyone's fine, but at least two of our cousins, their houses are gone. Lost everything. So that was a difficult night because, I mean, we didn't hear from anyone for a very long time, but thank goodness, you know, they did. Four people died there. We don't, there wasn't anyone we know because we have friends there too, but they're all okay. But that's very sad and tragic. But Abby's motioning that five people died in that area, but one of the people wasn't in Greenfield. They were in a car and they got blown off the road or whatever. Four people in town passed away. So, but thankfully, I am thankful to report that my cousins are all okay.
Good, good, good.
But yeah, that was a rough night. Other than that, you know, we just been doing the usual stuff. Abby played some Fallout recently. We were going to get on and try. So there's a new season on Diablo.
Yeah, yeah.
We thought about doing that, but no, we did. And we're also trying to watch some. We're watching Outer Range still, which is okay. Outer Range and Dark Matter. So
Dark Matter.
The thing about
Dark Matter, any good? It did not look like my kind of thing.
No, I don't think you'd like it. Here's the thing about both these shows. They have very basic setups, like super basic. Like if it was
that are totally given away in the trailer. Also, that was the thing. I knew exactly what the show was about after the trailer.
That's right, but there's also nothing interesting about it. Like these would have been really clever and interesting setups, like in the 1920s or 30s, right? Just by themselves, it's like, ooh, this is a cool new idea.
Yeah, these are also not new premises. Yeah,
no. And so if someone was elevator pitching
like,
this,
that was the thing with both of them. I'm like, I've seen this before. Yeah.
So in the elevator pitch for these, if someone said, well, imagine this and just the science fiction premise, the next question would be, and then what else? Because this is what you're telling me is something that's happened 1,000 times before. And there anything else.
No, there is. I forgot to mention the most important part. Josh Brolin.
Okay. So that's another part of this is, what I'm noticing is there's two elements. There's the science fiction element that's really basic and boring. And there's the other element is, well, we'll like Josh Brolin or Jennifer Connelly is in the other one. You know, let's get some good actors to do a lot of dramatic stuff. Like, and by dramatic, I mean just
Freak
like they're
out.
really, yeah, like they're really sad or they're really whatever. But the context around it, the plot is gone. You're just watching actors act. And I think they think that if we have that plus this, I don't know. I think they think it's weird or creepy, whatever the premise is, that somehow that'll generate interest. But there's really no story to speak of in either one of these things. So it looked like they use the same formula. It's like, well, let's have this really thin science fiction premise. Let's have some good actors that are good at being dramatic, and then let's not really tell a story or have an arc or anything like that. I don't really understand what they were thinking when they put this together, but
I think
so.
it there, well, at least Outer Range, I think, is succeeding. So
And
don't underestimate the power of Josh Brolin.
we're still watching it, but it doesn't have much substance. And the other show seems to be doing the exact same kind of thing. Like they're both following a formula that someone else did and was successful. And so, oh, hey, let's do that thing. I don't know who started it or who they're copying, but that's what it feels like.
I would have watched Dark Matter eventually. If it was a movie,
Both of them would work better as movies, I think.
they felt like it felt like it had enough material. Well, to be honest, I think I've seen movies with that premise, but it felt like enough for a movie. But the stuff they went through, first of all, if it's a series, that trailer clearly covers like several episodes.
Well, yeah,
It would
and
have to. I mean, unless the show front loads it and then has like 20 episodes of nothing.
well, here's another thing. These are the kinds of stories that you see other people make, and maybe this is what they're trying to copy, but then they're not doing it. They're giving away everything in the trailers and stuff. Is you could slow burn these stories where there are where the interest is that you don't know what's going on and there's a neat twist or revelation at the end. And if you do that right, you can have a really basic premise, right? And you can do that
Oh,
stuff.
yeah.
But they're not slow burning it at all. There's no mystery. There's no, you pretty much know everything that's going on. There's no surprises. So you're like, what? Maybe that's the piece they're missing, is that slow burn piece that they just
Yeah.
didn't.
Although I can get really annoyed by that because sometimes the slow burn answer is to J.J. Abrams it. And to just be like, let's start this show. Here's 80 things you don't know.
And then.
Slowly over time, seven of them will be answered.
That is annoying when that happens, yeah. But yeah,
And it's
so
well, and it used to not be as annoying because I could hold on to find the answers, but now television has proven you may not, and especially if you're not listed as a limited series, and occasionally if you are listed as a limited series, you still won't get answers because they're like, no, we got to save it for the next season. We're
yep,
going to
we got
give
it.
you a twist that it's bigger than you thought it was or whatever, but we're not going to tell you.
Yeah.
Outer Range, I think, did that.
They kind of did, yep, the
Yeah.
first season, yep. And Fallout kind of did too.
I like to think Fallout sort of resolved its stuff and then added more stuff at the end, which is the way I prefer it. Like resolve your story and then give hooks for another season. And I'm okay with that. When that's done, it's often done really sloppy, but it does. We Trish, at least, and probably me, had just bailed on Ripley.
Oh, really?
It's just the first three episodes were absolute nothing burger. The fourth episode was very interesting because it was very logistical in terms of conning and deceiving and stuff like that. And the fifth had some of that, but I'm just like, I don't care enough. We'll see. There's three episodes I might get back to it, but I don't think the hope's very good. But I have been seeing some good stuff.
Oh, tell me about
Not movies. I've been seeing some absolute garbage movies. Well, the one just on my own here is the new Doctor Who is awesome.
Is it? I
Like
haven't seen it yet.
specifically the new Doctor. The new Doc the Doctor Who is still Doctor Who, although it is Russell Davies again. So if you liked, the old school the reboot, the first few seasons of the reboot, you would like this better because it's him. But the new Doctor is just, I think refreshing is the word. He's young. He's much more, he's more modern. He has, dare I say, sort of a Gen Z sensibility to them. He dresses way cooler. He doesn't wear the same thing all the time. He uses modern slang. He's very physically affectionate in a way that I've never seen Doctor Who be before. He's just kind of a fun, nice guy. He and the companion have great chemistry. She's also really awesome. But like, they didn't ever, as much as I wanted to love Jodie Whittaker, and I did love Jodie Whittaker, she was great. She was not a revolution of the part. She was a girl playing the Doctor, and she did great. Same thing when Matt Smith did it, and they're like, this guy's so young. I'm like, yeah, but he's still playing the Doctor. Like, he's still playing like he's an old guy, essentially.
Yeah.
This is a whole different vibe, and it's kind of like, it's about time. Because I'm maybe getting a little bored with the Doctor, and this is just a nice change. The episodes are still the episodes. Modern Doctor Who has always been about the characters and their interactions, because the plots are nonsense and contradict each other and contradict themselves. And they're very children's adventure story in terms of making any sense or anything. But he's amazing, and he and the companion are really good. So I'm enjoying that. I'm about three episodes in. It's pretty fun. Also, episode two is called Space Babies, and it involves a lot of babies running a spaceship, and it's adorable. They do make the babies talk, and it's that digital mouth effect, which is a little unsettling, but it's like real babies, and they're super cute, and it's real fun. And it's just called Space Babies. Yeah, it's good. And actually within that episode, there is a really not even veiled, not even subtext, just text, decrying of abortion regulations. Basically the babies exist because there was a space station that was producing babies because there was a low population, and then because of economic crises it got shut down. But because of laws on the planet, you're not legally allowed to turn off the machine that makes the babies, so everybody left and babies just kept being made and left to die on this station. And they even make a big thing about, like, yeah, they just worry about creating life, they don't worry about taking care of it. And I was like, yeah, not even a little subtle.
No,
not that I don't disagree. I'm sorry, not that I disagree. I strongly agree, but it was just really funny in this far future space station on a different world. I was like, oh, by the way, yeah, this is dumb to force women to carry babies to term and then not have a system for, or in this case, force space stations to carry babies to term and then not have a support network for said babies. But Space Babies was awesome. It's just very fun. But Trish and I are watching my new pick for show, Dead Boy Detectives.
Yeah, I think you either expressed enthusiasm for it, or you have seen already some of it and you liked it.
The Dead Boy Detectives are a thing from the Sandman comics. Although I think they had their own spinoff and went on for a while, and they also had a crossover with Doom Patrol, which I need to finish now that the last season is done. I got to go back and watch that. But these are different people, and it's its own standalone thing. Although Death does show up being played by the same character who played Death in the Sandman show. So there are sort of connections there. It's good. We've only watched two episodes, but it's good. It's not perfect. One of the characters is really annoying, but it's supposed to be really annoying. Like, everybody's doing a great job. The lore isn't airtight, but it's not bad. I would say if you like the Sandman show and enjoy something, this is definitely more comedic. But it's a similar vibe. I would go for it. I'm digging it, and it is quite episodic. I mean, there is an overarching story, but they're detectives. Each episode is a case.
Nice.
It works well. But yeah, it's a fun time. There's two boys who are dead, and then there's a living girl who sort of gets involved, which, again, I don't think happened in the Sandman stuff. I think that may have happened later in the series, because that also showed up in Doom Patrol, and I didn't know her from that. But the two boys, at least, I looked them up because I thought they might be the same Doom Patrol actors, and they're not. This is sort of their first thing.
Oh.
Like, IMDb-wise, they have a couple of tiny credits, and that's it other than this, but they are nailing it. Nice. I mean, so is she. She's also awesome. And the whole cast is pretty good. Yeah, so I would recommend it. It's pretty nice.
I'll have to check that out.
Very good. Yeah, I think that's about it. I have been playing some more video games. There's one called Immortals of Avium that's basically a first-person shooter, except it's a fantasy setting and you're a wizard. So it's a first-person shoot spells out of your hand. And it looks really pretty. The reviews on it were like, it's a real good game. It just cost way more than it was worth, and so it's not selling well enough to make a profit. But I got it on Game Pass, so I'm not paying for it, especially. So I'm just playing it. It's pretty fun. And Gina Torres plays a major character in it.
And it's first. So you continue to be okay with first person.
I continue to be perfect with first person. I do not. I'm at the point now where I don't even remember to think of that. And it's just fine. I don't know what happened. I have not encountered anything, but it's pretty fun shooting all spells and stuff. And
that does sound fun.
It's pretty neat. Game Pass is really... The only downside for Game Pass for me is there's too much stuff. Yeah. And it's way too easy for me to be like, I'm bored with this. I'm going to switch to something else. Like,
right.
Like that game, that JRPG game, I'm still playing that. I put a ton of hours into that. But now I'm like, it moves very slowly. Maybe I want to do something else. I also played this game, been playing this game called Rewinder. It's a weird pixel art game based on Chinese mythology that's pretty cool. It's basically a puzzle game. You have the ability to go back in time, so you have to like figure out the right things to change the timeline so that bad things don't happen. But it's lots of underworld mythology and stuff like that. And it's fun. And I just hit a point where things went really bad, and it was kind of sad because it was kind of a dark game. And I was like, I don't want to play that right now. So then I switched to something else. And I'm like, I don't know if I'll ever get back to it. So that's a downside, but.
Abby's thinking about doing Elder Scrolls Online after doing Fallout 76.
People like it. People enjoy
they do.
That.
They love it. Yeah, and yeah. And when both of those Bethesda games went online, Abby was like, "I'll never get to play those games again." But now that she's done it, she's like, "This isn't so bad." I mean, you know, sometimes you see other people and it's a little bit annoying, but for the most part, it's fun. So I think she's going to try it out.
Yeah, I can't cope with seeing other people around. To be fair, it might be different in Elder Scrolls Online because people do love that game. And despite the fact that apparently Fallout 76 is much better now, people still fucking hate that game. So you may see a lot more people in Elder Scrolls Online. I am probably getting close to another big game.
Oh.
And it's probably going to be Starfield.
Oh.
Just because it's there. I'm not Baldur's Gate 3 is going to happen at some point, obviously.
I think we will sometime too. I'll bet we do.
I think it's like the law if you play video games. Like that game is too good. You have to.
Yeah.
And I'll definitely get to it, but probably not yet. But Starfield's sitting there waiting. It's been on my Xbox since the day I got my Xbox. But I'm like, I don't know if I'm up for jumping into a giant one again. There's so many little cute indie ones and stuff that have been coming out. And I haven't got a chance to play some of those. Some of those I have. Return to Grace and Body Matter were both really fun. We're still doing Harold Halibut. Slowly, because I'm getting a little tired of it. And I just play it when Trish is around. But it's still funny and interesting. And the stop motion effect is amazing. So yeah, there's a lot of games, and if I do Starfield, that will most likely take up a lot of time specifically, but we'll see.
Probably.
All right. My back is screaming at me and I gotta leave in just over an hour. So and as usual, I'm sick of your face. Sorry, I meant to mention that. I'm sick of your face.
Don't forget to mention that.
So 3 weeks from today, you'll be an official person to bitch at for money.
It will take some time for the state to like process all my information and actually get me a license that I can hang on the wall. But yes, I will have fulfilled all the requirements outside of, you know, the state doing their thing.
But if you'd like to bitch at William for free, email us themagicaltalkinghead@gmail.com. He legally has to respond. Or if you just want to bitch at him and have him not respond or probably even see it because he's a lazy asshole, but I'll see it. Go to the blog, themagicaltalkinghead.com, and tell us your thoughts on all of these products and properties we've talked about, and also my back. And then listen. Well, this is technically for next week, but by the time you see it, listen the following week to see if that's the week when William finally chokes.
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.